Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message. Are you ready for the word? Somebody said, let's get after it. Let's do it. Let's do it. If you brought your Bibles this morning, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to just dive right into this story. It's a story you're very familiar with. We actually read some of this last week. I'm going to go back and just recap, not the notes, but the verse, and then we're going to go through verse 14 and then keep moving forward with what God has for us today. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, it says this: that night, everybody say that night. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." Everybody say it with me. Good news. Come on, I'm going to give you one more shot. Good news that will bring what? Great joy to all the people. Verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying these words: glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Stop. I want you to lean into this right here. Peace on earth to who? To those with whom God is pleased. I want to speak to you today from this subject for just a few moments. Peace on earth. Or if you need an edgier title, unexplainable peace. Unexplainable peace. If there's one thing that we could use more of in our lives, I think we all could admit it would be peace. We could use more peace in our homes. We could use more peace in our relationships, more peace in this nation. Just as the angels declared prior to his birth, Jesus came that there would be peace on earth. As a matter of fact, the message of Jesus and the whole reason why he came to this earth was to bring peace, and another translation would say, and goodwill. Can I tell you today, Jeremiah 29:11 was not a lie. It was not an illusion. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your family. If you receive that, say, that's for me. God has a plan. He came to give us peace and goodwill. He has a will for your life. You've got to figure out, am I going to get out of the way and pursue his will for my life, or am I going to be so dogmatic and dedicated to making sure that I find my will and I'll have it my way? Merry Christmas. Somebody said, that's a little edgy. I just believe the whole Christmas story is edgy. The way he came. I say this all the time. We sing Silent Night, all is calm, all is bright. There was nothing beautiful about being born. There's nothing beautiful about giving birth other than the baby once it's cleaned up and all the wrinkles kind of get stretched back, right? There's nothing, all is calm, all is bright. I think I said it one year. We look at that story like it smells like a Glade plug-in. But let me tell you something. He was born out back in a manger, in a stable, surrounded by horse. Amen. You fill in the blank. Yeah. So it's not always a pretty story. It's very, very edgy. But based on what we just read in Luke 2:14, when we live a life that pleases God, we get the gift of God's peace. Maybe you want to write that down. Because it said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to who? Those whom God is pleased with. Perhaps maybe the reason we can't seem to find peace and we're not walking in peace and we're walking in all kinds of dysfunction is because he's not pleased with our actions. Hello, somebody in this house. See, It said when we live a life that pleases God, we get the gift. It's a gift. We get the gift of God's peace. He promises that. He doesn't promise a problem-free life. Come on, somebody. He promises a life where we can have peace in the midst of problems. Anybody got problems in here? Nobody knows the trouble I see. Yeah, y'all know that tune? It plays on repeat on the mini player, yeah? Think about it. When your life takes a sudden turn and when you get the devastating doctor's report, you can still have unexplainable peace, even though everything that you're reading is negative and looks like it's a death sentence. Hello? You can have unexplainable peace in the midst of your circumstance. Listen, when hard times come and things in your family get flipped upside down, you can still have peace. That's good news, church. See, the good news is Jesus came so that we could have access. You can have access to his unexplainable peace here on earth. Everybody say peace on earth. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, say, I need a little bit more of it. Now tell your second choice, for whatever reason you didn't go to them first, tell them, I'm sorry, but we still need more of it. You've heard me say this a lot, but in biblical times, the names of people carried great weight. Names not only revealed a person's character, but names often revealed a prophetic promise. Throughout the pages of the Bible, we can actually find many names for God, which each of them express a truth about his nature and about his character. Out of all the names of the Bible, I think one of my most favorite is found in Romans 15:33, where it says, he is the God of peace. It's not just the fact that God brings peace. He is peace. Can you say that with me? God is peace. If you looked up peace if there was such thing as a spiritual dictionary, peace in the verbiage, right beside it would be a picture of God. God is peace. Stop trying to pursue peace and pursue God. Hello, somebody. I can't jump to the end of my notes. Y'all gonna be like, you'll be like, you already said it. I did. I let it slip out because it's in there. Listen, when God deals with the peace issue, when he shows up and establishes peace, everything else has a unique way of working itself out. When God shows up, when we don't try to replace God, who is peace, will we try to find our own peace? See, when you bring God into the equation, and I say this all the time, include God in every area of your life. Include God. I'm back there and I'm listening to what he's saying about finances. And I know some of y'all are like, it's Christmas. Why are we talking about finances? Listen, if you don't include God in the church is fine financially. We're trying to reach a goal so we can build a house, not for me, not for you, but for the next generation, so that our families and our city can come under the sound of the gospel, so their lives and marriages and families can be changed. Listen, but if you're not including God in your finances, don't go to God and ask him to fix problems in your finances. And that's not my message today, but you've got to include God in every area of your life. And when you do, you'll have peace. Even when you tithe. That doesn't mean, I'm not trying to be about the money, but I gotta put this all together. Even when you do that, that doesn't mean that you're going to be free from your brakes going out on your car, your water heater exploding, your washer blowing up and water all over the house. Hello. It doesn't stop that from happening. But the Bible says, it doesn't say that God will open up the windows of heaven and rain down. It says men will give into your bosom, meaning men will supply the need. Are you tracking me? It doesn't mean because I do this, it's going to prevent all hell from coming in against me. It just means when hell comes against me, he's got a way out for me because he knows my heart and I've been faithful with everything I got. And it would do you a disservice if I didn't share with you the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus. If I didn't share with you the way, the truth, and the life about your finances. And that's all I'll say. This had nothing to do with money. But we got to include God in every area of our life. And when you do, you can still walk in peace. Because crazy things are going to happen. And you can have peace in the midst of craziness. Let me say this about moments when life seemed unfair. Anybody ever had a moment where life just seemed unfair? Me too. Listen, when I look back over my life and I think about all the times when I was going through a rough season, most of the time, 95% of the time, those seasons were created because of my own dumb choices and my own jacked up decisions that I made. Anybody ever made a bad decision, then you had to walk through the consequences of that decision? I'm looking for an honest Christian in the house. Anybody? Okay. I mean, if you got perfection, maybe you need to come up here and share the word today. Listen, most of the bad decisions that we make, most of the jacked up choices that we make, they're usually birthed out of a place where there is no peace present to begin with. Did you hear me? Most of the time when I make bad choices in a direction, a financial decision, or whatever, most of the time when it was a bad choice, I made that choice because peace, there was no peace in my heart. And I'm looking for peace. Were y'all here last Sunday? Looking for peace in all the wrong places. No, it's true. We try to replace God's peace for a peace the world can give. Most of the bad decisions I've ever made, I made them when other areas of my life were in turmoil and I was not at peace. Think about your life. Most wrong decisions that you've made, if you go back and think about it, you can probably trace it back and go, yeah, I didn't have a peace about that. Shouldn't have done that. Let me just let that settle in for a minute. You made that decision and you look back and after you get out of the consequence, you look back and go, yeah, I didn't have peace with that. Something Dad used to teach us all the time. Proceed until prevented. Proceed until peace is no longer in the room. God will help you make decisions if you'll include him in the choice. But here's some truth about the peace of God. Maybe you want to write this down. When you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. You can have the peace of God your entire life and make decisions that will change. Why? Because God is peace. He's the God of peace. There's a man in the Old Testament by the name of Gideon. Maybe you remember the story, and you'll find his story in the book of Judges. And the Bible describes Gideon as this guy who was the weakest person in his family. He was afraid, he was in a battle, and he was hiding from his enemies. And when you look at Gideon, he's the guy that you would think was unqualified, disqualified from even being used by God to do anything. But Gideon had this encounter with God, and after his encounter, this is the way that Gideon describes God. After everything that happened in Gideon's life and he came through, this is how Gideon described God. Not what God told him to say about himself. This was Gideon's description of God. It's in Judges chapter 6. Let me read this real quick for you. Judges chapter 6. It may be on the screen. I can't remember if these got programmed in or not. Judges 6:24, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. It's who he is. What was he saying? He was literally saying, God doesn't just give me peace, he is peace. So if God is peace, it lets me know that peace is not a place. Write that down. If God is peace, that's a direct confirmation that peace is not a location. Peace is not a place. Peace is not a zip code. If I could just move my family to Hawaii, how many believe we should have a campus, a Release City campus in Hawaii? Amen? Amen. I'm just kidding. Peace is not a certain make or model vehicle. Peace is not the big house with the white picket fence. Peace is not dating the right one. Peace is not being married to the right one. Y'all, I know lots of people who are married to great people and they still aren't happy. Look right at me. I said, I know a lot of people who are married to great people who still are unhappy. Peace is not the right set of circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. Peace is not a dollar amount in your checking account. True peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, when the Apostle Paul was describing the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians, he said one of the attributes and one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is peace. He said, this is who he is. So when I know God and I know the Holy Spirit, I can have and experience unexplainable peace. And not just know God, but that he knows me. Point number one, if you're taking notes, I think I only have two today. Number one, peace is a gift we receive. And then underline that receive, because that's the part we need to know. Peace is a gift we receive. See, Jesus said, peace I leave you. He was talking to a young, scared group of disciples that were freaking out because he was about to be crucified, die on a cross, and then resurrect and go back to heaven. And listen, and the disciples didn't want him to leave. They didn't want to change in their circumstances. Hello? Who am I talking to? They wanted it to stay how it's always been. Don't leave Jesus. And Jesus said, I got to leave. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to leave you with peace. See, peace is like this beautiful gift that's been wrapped for one of the members of the Bryant family. Thank you guys so much for your generosity. But peace is like a gift. It's very pretty. What's inside of it is very valuable, but it's not until you open it that you can experience the true gift. Did you hear me? When you invite Jesus into your heart, you get a gift. But the only way you have access to it is if you open the door. And if I'm not mistaken, in the Bible, Jesus said, I am the door. I stand at the door and knock. The question this Christmas is, you've got the gift, but have you opened it to experience the value of what's rightfully yours? John 14:27 says this, I am leaving you with a gift. This is Jesus. It's written in red in my Bible. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Y'all, ladies and gentlemen, you can have peace in your mind and your heart. Amen. And he said, and the peace I give you is a gift the world, everybody say the world, cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So that tells me that there are two kinds of peace. There's the peace that God gives, and there's the peace that the world gives. Because he said it. See, you can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. So let me submit it to you this way. Everybody in this room, say that's me. Everybody in this room is seeking peace. They are. Everybody in here is seeking a form of peace. You're either seeking God's peace or the world's peace. The rest of that verse says, so don't be troubled or afraid. I know you're thinking, how do I not become troubled and afraid when my life takes a detour? This has been a struggle in my life. And my family would tell you, and you guys know as my family, those that know me. No. Like really know. That when the T that I thought was crossed didn't make it all the way across, you know what I'm talking about? And the I didn't get dotted, I like to be organized. Sometimes Pastor B loses his stuff. Or when things happen outside of my control, things that I didn't even plan for, I go to another place, y'all. I have really bad thoughts that I have to repent for. Anybody else? I mean, I'm being honest. Can y'all be too? Okay. See, I want to get to a place in my life, and I feel like I'm doing a lot better in some of areas, but I haven't fully mastered it. But I believe that when things go crazy, I can have it, I can have peace. And I do. I think about when Dad and Robin passed away, and as devastated as we were, and trying to hold, you know, come out of COVID with the ministry, and I'm, you know, just a few months into being a first-time pastor, and I mean, it's new. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And God goes, that's why I asked you to do it, because you're going to have to rely on me. If you could have done it on your own, you wouldn't have needed me. And I think about the peace that I had. Yes, there were moments, and I still have moments, where I become emotional. But there is still there's a peace that I have. And I'm trying to tell you, only way I know, I can read a Bible story, but when I share the story of my life with others and go, wow, I can relate to that. I'm trying to tell you that when your life goes sideways, you can still have peace. When you're walking, y'all remember the V8 commercial? Have you had your V8? Our first house, Amy and I had, it was an old house, huge. And the back hallway had a slanted floor, and we literally had to walk by the wall, because if not, you were like this, because the floor was like this. But see, when life makes you walk that way, I believe that his peace will cause you still to walk upright, even though the territory and the terrain is lopsided, you can still walk in peace, and you're not affected by what's going on. Hello, who am I talking to? Anybody else got a slanted life right now? What'd I say? Oh, I'm sorry, but it's 14 in my, I'm sorry. So John 14:27. Sorry, guys. Shame on the pastor. He said, don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Question, have you ever read the words of Jesus and been like, that's easy for you to say, Jesus? That's what Jesus said. Anybody ever felt that way? He's like, don't be afraid. I know it's crazy, but don't be scared. Don't be afraid. If you're scared, say you're scared. Listen, when he says, be of great courage, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to be of great courage, but have you seen my life? Anybody else? He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Hey, God, I'm working on that. It may not look like it, but I'm trying. Listen, how do I live in a state of peace when I'm not troubled and my heart is not afraid? It's only when I receive his peace. It's only when I receive his peace, which lets me know I don't have the peace of God. Listen, write it down. I don't have the peace of God if my heart is troubled and I'm always afraid. Amen. Write that down. Some of y'all struggle with anxiety and fear. Amen, bro. That's a sign. That is a sign that you do not have the peace of God. That means you're looking for peace in circumstances. That's what the world gives. Listen, the peace that the world gives is fragile, y'all. Yeah. It's based on temporary circumstances. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just trying to tell you, you have misplaced God's peace for the peace that will come if my circumstances are right. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm saying when you do receive Jesus in your heart, he brings his peace, which is a gift. But you still have to open it. Here's what I know about these two forms of peace. And I already said it, God's peace is strong. The world's peace is fragile. So if your peace is disturbed by circumstances, then you, my friend, are living a life where you're seeking the peace the world gives. And there is a difference. And it's crystal clear. There's no confusion. If your peace is disturbed, I'm talking to the preacher today. So if you feel like I'm reading your mail, I'm standing at my own post office box. If your peace is disturbed by circumstances, then you right now are living your life surrendered to the world's peace. You know, when you go on Instagram and you're flipping through and you see somebody that you can't stand. I'll even say the word, you hate them. And you lose your peace. And you're like, I just want you to know I can't stand you. Makes you want to throw your phone across the room. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. What is that? Why they get to go on all those vacations? What about me? That's peace. Listen, you go on vacation, you may have peace on a ship for 7 days, but when you come back, you're still going to face the same turmoil. Hello. Or you might come home and your car's been, somebody tried to break in your car. Hello. You can still walk in peace. Still had to get it fixed. Still had to come out of pocket and pay the deductible. Amen. Insurance. Oh. Anyway, if you're an insurance agent, I love you. It's true, though. Listen, it doesn't prevent the stuff from happening, but you can still walk through it and navigate through it with a spirit of peace. Amen. Listen, God's peace is eternal. The world's peace is temporal. God's peace is internal. The world's peace is circumstantial. So, Pastor B, how do I know if I have God's peace or the world's peace? So glad you asked. I'll tell you. You know you have the world's peace when you keep telling yourself, if I just had that, I don't know what that is, you fill in the blank. If I just had that, then I would have peace. If I just had that number of zeros on the back of my check, then I would have peace. That, my friend, is somebody who is depending on a world system. Oh, if we could just have 500 more square feet, this house would work. Who am I talking to? If my spouse would just treat me better, if my kids would just behave more, then I would have peace. If I just had a little more money, then I'd have peace. If I just had. I don't know what your just had is. Somebody said, I ain't had it yet. I'm trying to get it. Then I'm talking to you. Listen. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. I'm not saying adding square footage to your house and wanting extra zeros in your checking account is wrong. But listen, if your peace is predicated on those things happening or being present, then your peace is fragile and it is coming from the world, not God. Yes. Merry Christmas. I try to smooth that out a little bit. Listen, your peace is being determined by select circumstances. That is not true peace. If your peace is determined by a select, pre-approved, God, here's my list. Make sure are you checking it twice too? Because apparently you're missing some of them, God. It's funny how when we don't get from him what we want, we'll check out. You want to talk about the greatest Christmas gift ever? It was Jesus. And Jesus is peace. We receive him into our heart to make him our Lord and Savior. But we've not opened the true gift, the gift of peace. Greatest gift was Jesus. Always has been, always will be. Listen, write this down. God's peace settles you when life is unsettling. God's peace will settle you even when life is unsettling. So the first point was peace is a gift we receive. Point number two, peace is a lifestyle we live. We live it every day. It's easy to come in here and go, man, I feel empowered. I can do this thing. But how are you responding when life gets unsettled out there? Peace is a lifestyle we live. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace all, everybody say all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. This is not going to be up there, but I'm going to read verse 4. Trust in the Lord always. Why? For the Lord God is the eternal rock. That means you can make it, guys. We can make it. when our thoughts and our mind are fixed, or another translation, stayed on him. He'll keep you in perfect peace. It did not say he will keep you in perfect circumstances. No, it didn't say he'll keep you in a perfect life, in a perfect marriage with perfect kids. No, he said perfect peace in the midst of a marriage that gets rocky, in the midst of a smart mouth teenager. Hello? Or snotty nosed kids. Mama. When they blow out the diaper. I'm just preparing Connor and Ansley for what's to come. Caitlin, Richard, where you guys at? Y'all know? Yeah. Y'all know the first few diapers, they're pretty clean. Yeah, it's later. Everybody say later. Let me move off. I don't even know how I got in the diaper ditch. I have no idea. What was I saying? He can keep you in perfect peace when that child talks back. Hello. All my report cards growing up in elementary school, on the back of it where it said teacher's remarks, he talks entirely too much and always has to have the last word. Go figure. I know, hard to believe, right? Listen, when their tongue gets out of control and you want to rear back, you go, nah, build a fence, Jesus. Keep me in perfect peace. He will. Listen, for me, I don't know, it might be meddling. For me, I don't pursue peace. I pursue God. See that when we pursue peace, you can't get God's peace when you pursue peace. Because if you pursue peace, you're going to come up with the world's peace. That's based on circumstances. But when you go after God, seek God first. Yes. Then comes all these things. Yes. What does that look like when you pursue God? It looks like I trust God with my life. It looks like I trust God with my finances. I say it all the time. The things that we become anxious about, listen, the things that we become anxious about only reveal the areas where we trust God the least. If you struggle with anxiety and fear, hot news flash, whatever that subject or topic is, that's the area where you refuse to release it and let God have it. It's an area that you've not released to God because you're basing peace on circumstances. Anybody get anything out of this on Christmas? Okay. Talking about peace. Peace on earth. Peace in your heart. Peace in your mind. Peace in your home. People who pursue peace are always, they're always going, if I could just get more, then I'd have peace. If I could just have that, then I would have peace. If I could just have more stuff, then I would have peace. If that's you, you're missing out. Hear me. You were never designed to chase peace. You were always designed from the very beginning to chase God. And that's where we get it mixed up. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life when I follow God. I'm not looking for peace. It's following me. Remember, peace is not a place. Peace is a person. I want to give you something very practical as I bring this down today. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Here it is. Ready? You got your pens ready? You got your keypad ready? Here it is. Daily Bible reading and prayer is the most. I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so boring. Daily Bible reading and prayer is the single most powerful step that you can make towards obtaining God's peace. The Barna Group, B-A-R-N-A, the Barna Group is a Christian research organization that provides data and insights on the trends affecting our faith, our culture, and ministry today. And the Barna did a research on Bible reading, daily Bible reading and prayer. And in their research, this is what they found about daily Bible reading. Are you ready? Reading the Bible one time a week, one time, does absolutely nothing to impact you spiritually. You may disagree. This is their study on the group of people. Reading the Bible one time a week does absolutely nothing to impact your spirituality. Twice a week does nothing to impact you spiritually. Three times a week created just a little blip on the screen. But when a person started reading the Bible four times or more a week, the results went off the chart. And it wasn't one day, 2 day, 3 day, four. It was one, two, three, four. Off the chart. Daily Bible reading and prayer. What the Bible say? You will keep in perfect peace all who trust you and whose mind and thoughts are fixed on you. Anybody, you work with tools? Anybody ever change a tire, flat tire on your car? Do you just those lug nuts? Or do you want to make sure they're what? Fixed. Why? So you don't wreck. It's the same thing with our mind. We got to fix our mind and our thoughts. Fix them. Fix them. You know why? Because when my lug nuts on my car are fixed, I can go through any bump. I can go on a dirt. I can go down to see the hires on their road. I can drive through Chiefland. They're working on it. They're working on the roads. But you know what? My tire doesn't loosen up because they're fixed. And there's not just one lug nut. There's not just two. There's not three. Some of them have four and five. It takes four or five to keep the vehicle moving. One time a week, nothing. Two, nothing. Three, little blip. Hope you don't have a rough patch in the road. Three lug nuts. That wheel's going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Someone's like, I didn't know you knew so much about cars. I've been around for a little while, 50 years actually. It's true. But five, four plus off the charts. Listen. Hebrews 11:6 says, He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not occasionally seek him. Not when it's convenient. Hello. As they concluded their study on those who would read the Bible four times or more a week, they said this: for those that read four or more times, feelings of loneliness dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Some of y'all need to get in the Word. Okay, let me keep. Bitterness and unforgiveness dropped 42%. Alcoholism dropped by 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant, most Christians in the church, dropped by 60% by simply reading their Bible and praying four times or more. Viewing pornography dropped 62%, and sharing their faith increased by 200%. Serving others increased by 230%. What's happening? By fixing your eyes on this book. Fixed. Fixed. I'm not knocking Life Church and Pastor Craig Groeschel with the amazing YouVersion Bible app, but I'm going to be honest, if that's how I'm getting my word, no disrespect. I get all kinds of texts, notifications, everything else. My phone won't go off all day, but if I try to go in and read my word through the thing, it's like a lotto machine. Ding, 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 ding. Sometimes you need to just get back to the basics of life. Printed. Printed. Old preacher said one time, God does all the heavy lifting. All you got to do is open the door and let him in. I'm going to say it again. Peace is a gift God gives, but it's also a gift that you have to receive. And you don't get peace by simply asking for it. You receive peace by seeking God. Write that down. Because it's dangerous, actually, to pray, God, give me peace. That's dangerous. because you're trying to get the product without the person. What? You don't get peace by asking for peace. You get peace by seeking God. What the angels say? Glory to God in the highest. That's heaven. And then they said, peace on earth. Peace on earth. Where are we living, y'all? On earth. You can have unexplainable peace in your present world. In closing. You can't have peace, the peace of God. Hear me. You can't have the peace of God if you don't have peace with God. You can't get the product. I'm going to say that again. You can't get the product without the person, because he's not a product. He is. He said, I am. We want the gift. And if we can bypass the giver, we're cool with that. This is where it starts. When you surrender your life to Jesus and say yes, that's where it starts. It's not a religious response. It's not a parrot. It's not a parrot repeating a pastor's prayer. But when you open your heart and say yes to God, he will change not only your life, but your eternal destination. Did you hear me? There's some in this room. Your destination might be up in the air. Afterlife. We think when we die, this is it. It is for the lost. They still have to go through eternity. So really, do they die? See, the Bible says, I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. Where have I heard that before? Pastor George, I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. My body will stay here. But my spirit and my soul. If you don't know Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, the devils know Jesus. That's why the devil shows up at your house on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning to try to keep you from coming in here to be with Jesus. The Bible says the demons know Jesus and tremble. And we take him real casually. It says there'll be a day where we'll stand before him and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Yeah, but I knew you, Jesus. He said, I never knew you. That word new is like the intimacy between a husband and a wife. Intimate. I never knew you. You may know God, but does he know you? Oh, he has a knowledge of you because he created you and he has a plan for your life, amazing plan. But does he know you intimately? What's that look like? That looks like when I go through tough times, I strip all the phoniness away and go, this is me. I'm not going to get graphic, but when Amy and I got married, we had a honeymoon. And I said, this is me. Are you following what I'm saying? We go to God and try to hide all of our imperfections. This is me. Amy, I'll be bald one day. She already knew that because it had already started. I could have got a toupee. That's what we do with God. We come in here and play church for each other. And God knows there's nothing under there. What am I saying? Listen, this could be our last Christmas on earth. Jesus could come back. Do you know him? And does he know you intimately? A pretty good start for intimacy with him is daily Bible reading and prayer. Not casually, every day. Make it a priority. This Christmas, the most important question you will ever be asked is, do you know Jesus and does he know you? You're thinking, well, I got to stop doing this and start doing that. And no, you, if that was the case, you're trying to clean up on your own. And if that was the case, we would not even ever be celebrating Christmas and Jesus would have never came. Because you can't clean it up without him. So every head bowed and every eye closed. The Bible says that without God, we're dead spiritually. Without God, we're blind. Without God, we're deaf. But when we receive God, he brings this life that was once dead back to life. How's your relationship with God today? Is it feel dead? Does it feel stagnant? Let's change that in these next 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Let's change that. It starts with a choice. It starts with a decision. And everything after that, I almost said that's on you, but that's on us together, staying connected together as we pursue Christ together. And when we pursue God, he'll bring his peace. Some of you are here today, and as I start giving examples of what the world's peace looked like and how, when I said if your peace is easily disturbed based on circumstances, some of y'all said, yep, that's me. Today, that can change. If you'll go after God and not peace. I never looked at it this way until this week studying. I've got good news for you today, church. This Christmas, right now, this Christmas is all about you. This Christmas is all about this moment right here. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know Jesus. And I don't know that he knows me intimately. I don't know that if I was to die today or he came back tomorrow that I would wake up in heaven. And I want to make that right. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to shoot your hand up just as fast as you can. If you're here today and you go, you know what? There are some areas in my life that I know do not please God, and I want to make that right today. This Christmas, I want to be made new. This Christmas. Will you pray for me, Pastor B? If you're here and you say, I have substituted God's peace for the world's peace because my peace is easily disturbed by circumstances. And today, I no longer want to pursue peace. I want to pursue God. If that's you, when I count to three, shoot your hand up. You want to be saved and know it? You want to rededicate your life and say, God, I'm sorry for some of the stuff that I've done this year. I don't want to walk in. Listen, you... Don't wait till Easter. Don't wait till Easter. Let's shut it all down today and step into 2026 made new. And new happens today. Number one, you want to be saved and know it. Number two, you want to rededicate your life. Number three, you say, you know what? I want to pursue the peace. I want to pursue God and not peace. If that's you, on the count of three. Matter of fact, I want you to stand to your feet. Those that want to respond to this altar call. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Repeat this prayer with me. Loud and clearly, not because God's hard of hearing, but because the devil's hard of hearing. And he needs to know today we mean business in this house. And after today, our life will never be the same. Are you ready? If you're not standing and you want to get in on this prayer, you can say it with us. Come on, let's just say it together. Say, oh God, I come before you right now, confessing my sins. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe that your only son, Jesus, died for me on the cross at Calvary. I believe that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe that he rose again on the third day, conquering sin, conquering death, conquering the devil, and setting me free. And now, oh God, I receive you into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my deliverer this holiday season. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift. I receive you now, and I receive peace in this moment. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look at me. Look at me. You just received a gift. You just received a gift. What you do with it from this day forward, it's up to you. It's up to you. God, seal this moment. God, seal this moment. Father, may it not just be a prayer, but God, may it be a life decision. All bad decisions are made in the absence of peace. And what we feel right now, because you're here and you're peace, we feel your peace. So God, we open the door and say, here we are. Just as I am, here I am. I've come. Here I am. I'm yours. The prayer's continuing, y'all. Say it with me. Right here I am. I'm yours. And I belong to you. Use me for your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas. I love you guys. I love you guys. Give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Amen.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.